I'm going to share just the first reading with you today. It will be the first part of my message, which will be centered on this particular passage. It's in Luke 1, and it's verses 5 to 25. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well on in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name of John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well on in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, and you will not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After that, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Let's have a look at the Word of God together, shall we? It's important to share the Word of God together, isn't it? Yep. Absolutely crucial to hear what God is speaking. God is continually speaking. He never stops. We were in the prayer time earlier. I began to pray that. Thank you, Lord, that we're still listening. We're still listening. We must be always listening. And in listening, we have to be mindful of not only hearing, doing something with it, and we'll touch on that in a little while. Christmas. My sermon this morning is entitled, Don't Be Afraid of Christmas. Don't be afraid of Christmas. I thought hard and long about that as a title, and I suppose as I say that, that will probably conjure up one or two thoughts in some of your minds, but don't be afraid of Christmas. Not everyone is looking forward to Christmas. For some, Christmas is a painful, even a frightening time. For some, Christmas is not always what it is wrapped up to be. I think Mike might have touched on that a bit, perhaps in his prayers earlier. Christmas holidays are like the summer holidays. They are a solicitor's dream. After summer holidays, after Christmas, when families are thrown together, who keep their distance during the year a little bit because that just helps things go along a bit better. Those times of when families are thrown together, almost forced to, create the solicitor's dream. I'm not joking when I tell you that sometimes they are queuing in January to see a solicitor because they need to break up, they need to have space, and that's a dreadful time. Christmas is not all that is wrapped up to be. For some, Christmas is expensive. Not everyone can afford it. Most of us can't afford it. The credit card's coming in January. I'm a chaplain. I do 2 days a week workplace chaplaincy in Bury for a Christian charity, headed up by Victor Jack. You know Victor. Victor preaches here. I've looked at your website. I know what he's preached on. I've seen what he preached on, and I'm just making sure he doesn't preach it again. If he does, I shall say hallelujah, because we need to hear it again. I'm only joking. I know that stuff happens, and I know what happens in family lives. I know the heartache that for some Christmas is. Oh, those bills, dreading January when they come through the door, and they see just how much they have overindulged, overcommitted, overstretched. It can be overindulgent. Films on TV. Yeah? The Great Escape. And most of us wish we could. Am I right? Yeah? Is it on this year? No?
No.
Oh, good. But I haven't described the Christian Christmas. Or have I? Most of us love Christmas. The wonder of God made flesh, the joy of the angel's song, so many legitimate things to enjoy. And yet, for many, this Christmas can be and will be lonely. And for some, it will be filled with dread. And it's possible for us as Christians to be afraid. And perhaps there is someone quietly here in this service this morning saying, "Yes, Joel, you're right." And in the early chapters of Luke, we read five times, we read the command, "Do not be afraid." And we're going to look very quickly at three of them this morning, because five would take you into your Sunday roast. And then I would be roasted, wouldn't I? Yeah. So, okay, we'll look at three of them this morning. And we've read about the first one in Luke chapter 1. And like many fears at Christmas time, it has to do with children, or lack of them. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah," said the angel to the priest. "Your prayer has been heard." Most married couples want children. And some realize just how much they want them when they experience difficulty in conceiving. And I have experience of this within my family. So I know of what I speak, so I'm not being insensitive, and if I touch on issues for some of you today, please bear with me. I understand just how hard that is. And for a Jewish couple, in the setting that we have here in the Word of God this morning, to be childless meant, most importantly, no opportunity to give birth to the Messiah. No opportunity to give birth to the Messiah. This couple that we read about, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't become bitter about their difficulty, but rather they prayed about their problem. And we have an important message here this morning, friends, about answered prayer. Because in the passage that we have before us, and if you've got it, you just glance at it as I speak to you about it, please do. I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. I'm sure everyone here does. On a tablet, or on a phone, or even in this good old piece of paper that I tend to use. We see here in the Word of God the qualification for answered prayer. Luke 1 verse 6. Let me read it to you. It says this about this couple. "Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly." That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah? Observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. This was a couple that were faithful. Both were upright in the sight of God. And we see here the basis for answered prayer. Their faith was in God and in none other. They trusted in the power of the Almighty to do what he had promised. So they prayed for a baby, even though Elizabeth was childless. And the Bible says that she was long in the tooth. I feel it that way sometimes. Not that I'm barren, but you know what I mean? I'm long in the tooth. Sometimes you think, have I got the energy? I still don't have as much as I used to have. But she was getting on, bless her. And meanwhile, in his ordinary life, Zechariah the priest, he went on to serve God and to go about his normal business. And the result of answered prayer was obvious. In verse 14, it says this. This is the angel speaking to Zechariah. He will be a joy and delight to you, this child that you will have, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Okay? Now, I guess childlessness will not be the greatest problem for most of us here this Christmas time. Yet some of you may be afraid about your children, the ones that you have. And as a father, as a grandfather, I understand the tension and the sense of that myself. Well, I want to say this morning, the same principles apply. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, but pray for them. Pray for them. And never get tired, friends, of praying for your children and your grandchildren and claim them for God day by day. I do it. I have to do it. I do it as a matter of discipline. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes I don't even perhaps even feel like it. But I claim them for God every day. Pray for them. I know it sounds easy, but friends, love will not allow for anything else. Do not be afraid. That's the first message to Zechariah the priest. Do not be afraid. My second one, and we're moving on quick. That's good, isn't it? That's always a good sign when the preacher does his second point fairly quickly. Okay. Do not be afraid. Luke, we stay in Luke 1. I'm going to read verses 26 right quickly to you. We had Zechariah. Now we have a message to that lovely character, Mary. Mary. This time it's to Mary, who is sadly neglected, I believe, in evangelical circles. I believe she is. Because of the excesses of some, the pendulum seems to have swung sometimes too far the other way. And we rather skirt over or skip over the character of Mary. And if ever you feel like inviting me back, and I don't lock my copybook today fully, I'm happy to do a character study of Mary, if ever you want me to, okay? Just a little bit. I tell you who did that. Victor did this once. Has he done it here? I'm sure he did a Churches Together meeting last year. That's right. He did he stepped in at the last minute. Somebody couldn't make it. And Victor, bless him, he was busy up to his eyeballs like he normally is at 80. Did I tell you? Sure he is 80 just. And he stepped in at the last minute and he did a study on Mary. Not the one I've got. But it's the same. You've helped me do that. But seriously, Mary is very much underscored in many ways. Mary, a fascinating character. I mean, it's the Bible that calls her blessed, isn't it? Yeah? It's the Bible that says, blessed art you. So Luke 1, 26 to 38, I'm going off piste, and so I mustn't do that. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." In other words, you are highly blessed, yeah? "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and he wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, which we read about earlier, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary had every reason to be afraid, didn't she? In those days, to be a virgin and to be told that you're going to give birth to a child must have blown her mind, shocked her to the core. She had every reason to be afraid, really afraid. What she was being called to would be quite literally painful. I know, because I was with my wife when she had our three. It would be quite literally a painful experience. Genesis 3:6, with pain you will give birth. So what she was being called to would be not only painful, but secondly, it would be misunderstood. In Luke 2, I shan't go through them each because we're going to have time. Luke 2 and 48 and Matthew 12, verse 47, you'll see where she was misunderstood. Certainly one of them in the temple when Jesus was, you know, about to visit the temple and he stood behind and she wondered where he'd gone to and they'd been a day's journey and came back. And in John 19, what she was being called to do would be heartbreaking. As in John 19, 25, she stands at the foot of the cross. Her son spiked to a tree. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. She had every reason to be afraid. And I ask the question very sincerely here this morning. Is there a Mary by another name, even here in this service this morning, to whom the word of the Lord implies much the same as it did to Mary, the mother of Jesus? Is someone here who's fearful? Someone here really feels a sense of fear and trepidation? You see, the implications of the call of God are almost beyond bearing. And sometimes the outworking of the work, the outworking of the call, the outworking of the ministry that we are called to is sometimes impossible to contemplate. Sometimes it's difficult for us to get to grips with. But the message at this Christmas time and at all times from God is this, friends, this morning. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Here is the promise of God. And in Luke 1:45, I've gone into Acts. Where have I gone into Acts for? Let's go back to Luke 1. Luke 1 and verse 45. Have I read this yet? I did, didn't I? Help me.
No.
Nope. Good. All right. Let me just read the rest of it then. I'll read the last part, then that will include this. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Elizabeth prophesies over Mary. And she says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Friends, if you are that Mary here this morning, that's the promise for you this morning. Blessed are you who believe, for there will be an outworking. There will be a fulfillment. There will be an accomplishment of that which the Lord has spoken and promised to you. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that an assurance? That he is faithful who calls you. He is faithful who calls you to what he is calling you to. And he will see it through with you as you trust him and as you put your faith in him. Those whom God calls, he equips. And to be in the will of God as Mary was, whatever the consequences, is to be highly favored, is to be blessed. A young girl, slip of a thing, frightened in the natural, had her confidence in God. Do not be afraid. Mary, the Lord is with you. And the Lord will take you through this and be with you as you trust him implicitly. So we have Zechariah, do not be afraid, to the priests. Then we have do not be afraid to Mary, the young virgin. And the final third point I want to really share is what I suppose you might say is at the heart of the Christmas story, the shepherds. We know that one so well, don't we? Yeah, we sing it every year, don't we? Is it someone's favourite carol about the shepherds? Anybody? Nobody? No, not the shepherds? No. Well, sorry? Your play is about the shepherds. Well, you see, there's the link. The play is about the shepherds. The heart, in a way, of the Christmas story. And I was going to say, what is it? Or who is it? Well, that would have gone out like a lead balloon, wouldn't it? The shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. I'm not going to read it because I think we know that story. We've had it read. Luke is read in most carol services, isn't it? Luke 2, about the shepherds. We've heard it many times. We could almost say it off by heart, couldn't we? I bring you good news of great joy, Luke 2, verse 10. And the shepherds were just ordinary men. They weren't prominent men. They weren't expecting any fame. They weren't expecting their names to be put in lights right throughout history. They never imagined for one moment that they would be significant in the purposes of God. Simple shepherds in the fields in the dead of night, probably having a game of whist or something, probably lighting a fag or something, probably opening up their flask and getting their sarnies out. I mean, this is the real story, isn't it? Sitting there doing what they would normally do, and in the background there'd be a bleat or two. Yep. There they were, in the fields, simple men, and they heard the angels sing, and they were terrified. Wouldn't you be? Absolutely terrified. And for these shepherds that we read about in Luke chapter 2, what happened that first Christmas night really wasn't just an experience. Did you hear me? It was not just an experience. Because the present age, I feel, is littered with experiences. Just littered with them. And an experience in a vacuum isn't of any value to anybody. As it stands alone, an experience is of no value whatsoever. You may have heard that story, I'm sure you have. If you haven't, I'll tell it to you. Of the church minister standing at the entrance of the church at the end of the service, as I'm sure we might do here. People greet people as they go out. The minister often stands and lets people go out. And one of the parishioners comes out and he says, brother, he says, phew. That sermon moved me. And he began to move out of the church, and the minister grabbed him by the arm, yanked him back. Hey, just a minute. And where did it move you to? Where did it move you to? A revelation of God that doesn't take us anywhere and doesn't change anything, actually, friends, is quite valueless. It is. Notice the fear of the shepherds turned to joy. Oops, that's another candle for a different week, isn't it? You're going to have joy in another week. But it could give me a bit of license there. But just to say that's what God wants for you and for me. He wants us to experience joy this Christmas time to counteract fear. The experience that the shepherds had and the truth that they received had to be acted upon. Now in Luke chapter 2, let me just read a bit of that. We've got enough time, I think, because we're getting towards the end of the sermon. We've just got a song to sing. Let me just read that to you. Right. And then there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over the little flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared, the glory of the Lord shone. They were terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great tidings of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. Find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth, etc." Suddenly a great heavenly host, we know that part, glory to God in the highest. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go." They had the revelation. They had the experience. What did they do? They went. Let's go and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So what did they do? They hurried off. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds then returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had done and seen, which they were just as they had been told. That's fascinating, isn't it? The shepherds heard, acted upon it, hurried off, saw, declared it, and then went back to where they had started from with the same message. Fascinating. The truth that they had received had to be acted upon, and they did so. And in going, they found the child. They spread the word. And it's important to me this morning as I read this, and I've read it again, and it's been a real blessing to me this last week or so. In going, they found the child. This shared experience, which they had together as shepherds in that field, that didn't cause them to be unable or sad or to be dissatisfied in returning to their ordinary work. So often I've met people over the years that have had experiences and they feel as though they're sort of siphoned off into some sort of irrelevancy. Yeah? No. What we experience in God and what God teaches us causes us to go back to those who we are with day by day, week by week, and share it and earth it in our relationships with them. And this is what happened for the shepherds. They went back to the fields. They went back. They carried on doing and carried on declaring. Friends, the Lord will turn your fear into a blessed hope and into a blessed certainty this Christmas time. They were the happiest of men, it says. They were full of certain hope, certain certainty and trust. I believe that word hope is about trust, really. That's the difference between the Christian emphasis and definition of hope, is that we have a trust, a complete trust in God, a complete certainty that we are in his hands, which is important. So here is the Christmas message to the frightened as we come to a close. Be awake. This is really majoring on the shepherds, I know, but be awake. Listen. Go and see for yourself. Share the true message of Christ and Christmas this Christmas time. That Christ has come. Tell us, and then go on being obedient to Christ, the new-born King. In Joshua 1 verse 9 is my baptismal text. I was baptized in 1965. I know it seems incredible that I was alive in 1965, but I was. My baptismal text was this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friends, there is no need for fear this Christmas. Our certain hope is in Christ, and that hope drives out fear. So be encouraged. Take the Christmas message. Share it with others. Tell it. Share it strongly, boldly. And then go back to your work, go back to your families, and go back to your place of work and share it again. And God will bless you. Amen.